Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers sign Nasser Djiga on a season-long loan from Wolves as Josh Windass's name is floated as a potential option. Hayato Inamura impresses in Celtic's win over Cork, but Stephen Welsh picks up an injury and Lauren Shanklin reveals his reasons for staying at Hearts. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Scott Allen.
How are we doing, Andrew?
What's happening?
Well, I've actually announced my retirement today, so obviously the next chapter of my career, which will be obviously coaching and a bit of punditry, keep going with that. So, listen, I can look back, I've had a lot of good memories and it's quite an emotional day, I would say, when you're actually sitting there writing the post. But listen, next chapter, all things, good things come to an end.
Are you feeling about sort of reflective or more excited for the future and what's to come? A bit of both?
A bit of both, yeah. I think you look back at all the kind of hard work you put in, especially your mum and dad driving you to training week in, week out. For me, it was Dundee, so there was a lot of miles there throughout the year. So, listen, I've gave them some good memories as well, but I think you look back at the whole journey, not just the professional side of it and the amount of work you put in, and you can be proud. But now, as I say, it's on to the next chapter and something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, we'll get into that a bit later on. Maybe you want to ask Scott Allen a question about his career. 0141 951 1025. I can see from his face he's already looking forward to that. And ask me anything with Scott Allen, all about his career on the day he announces his retirement. Anything else? 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, another signing today. Nasser Djiga has signed on a season-long loan from Wolves. The central defender, I think, only joined them in February for around £10 million. He is Russell Martin's latest recruit. What do you make of that? I think JD Gassama is going to be the next in the door as well, from Sheffield Wednesday, the 21-year-old winger, seeing that he's linked, as is Josh Windass. Some outlets down in Sheffield saying that I think a lot of players can leave Sheffield Wednesday at the moment due to their financial issues. Josh Windass is one of those players teams are looking at, Rangers' name being floated there. Could you see that happening?
Yeah, I could. I think he knows Russell Martin quite well, and I have a relationship where I met Josh Windass last month at the Hibs Rangers game. And listen, I think Rangers is a place he looks at where he really enjoyed his football. On the flip side of that, Sheffield Wednesday, he has been their captain as of late. So just in terms of what the situation is down there, but I think it'd be a good signing for Rangers. I think he gives you that energy. He does have a bit of quality, and listen, I think where Rangers are at, they need something at the top end of the pitch.
Rangers fans, any thoughts on Nasser Djiga? Maybe it's JD Gassama from Sheffield Wednesday. Josh Windass, I'm sure a few of you would have some opinions on that, if that one is going to happen or not, what you think of it. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, I'd like to hear from you on last night's friendly win against Cork City. Who impressed you? I saw on social media a good few Celtic fans saying that Hayato Inamura is one that surprised a few. Started at left back, despite the fact that I think he was brought in as a centre back initially. Is he someone that you think could maybe play a bit of a part this season, or do you think he maybe needs some time out on loan? Stephen Welsh with another injury, what does the future hold for him? 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Lauren Shankland. He's been talking about why he decided to stay at Hearts and knock back some bigger money offers from elsewhere. I did see, just as we came on air, an interesting signing for Mark Wilson at Partick Thistle. Tony Watt has joined the Jags. Don't think I saw that one coming, an interesting signing for them.
No, but I think if anybody is on TikTok, they'd see Tony's been posting quite regularly out, obviously keeping fit, obviously knew he had something in the pipeline. Listen, I think it's a good move for club and for player. Tony obviously looking to get back scoring goals week in, week out, and he gives Mark that bit of experience that he'll need in his team, with obviously losing Brian Graham to Falkirk.
Thistle fans, maybe you want to talk about that. 0141 951 1025. I see Motherwell made a signing today. The competitive action is back in Scotland this weekend as well, with the Premier Sports Cup. So any thoughts on anything, give us a call on that number, 0141 951 1025. Rangers, of course, made that signing today of Nasser Djiga from Wolves, a player who was at Red Star Belgrade and had been at Basel previously, came into Wolves in February and I think made five appearances, but I think they totaled about 65 minutes, so they were all substitute appearances. But someone Rangers have decided to bring in, I think it's a straight loan, no option to buy. Was that an area, really? Was that an obvious area that Rangers really needed to strengthen centre-back?
Yeah, I think obviously you see at the weekend it was a kind of a mixed bag in terms of who was playing in there. Obviously, I actually felt James Tavernier went in and done a good job, but I think in terms of the profile Russell Martin would be looking for, I know that he just came through the kind of Dutch system, so he would grew up taking the ball out from the back, how you would expect a Russell Martin team to play. He's obviously had that experience at Red Star as well, where there is a bit of pressure there. There's obviously synonymous with the atmosphere, so you'd like to think it was a nice positive signing for Rangers. I think in terms of looking at the Bulls thing, I don't think you can look too much into that. A lot of players don't quite make the break in the Premier League as soon as they make the transfer, so I think this could be a really good move for Rangers and the player. I think if you look at players that didn't quite work out at Wolves, one of them's playing tonight, Vitinha at PSG, who's arguably one of the best players in the world at this moment in time. So listen, I think it's a positive one, and I think it's one that will suit the structure in terms of how Russell Martin will want to play.
When you looked at Rangers on Sunday against Club Brugge, the two starting centre-backs, Robin Proper, Leon King, maybe not sort of conducive to playing that higher line, maybe not having that recovery pace in behind that allows you to do it. Is that a real area that you think, you know, having that pace might allow Russell Martin for his style to work a bit more?
Yeah, if you're going to play the high line, you have to have one of the centre-backs who has real pace, who can recover. If you don't, then it will be that you'll get caused problems in games, especially teams with strikers and wingers who are looking to run in behind. They can turn you and put you under constant pressure, so it is an area of the park. In terms of the profile, as I spoke about, you have to have that speed if you want to play that way.
Yeah, he is only 22 years of age. He had that time at Red Star Belgrade, but in that as well, I think he played every single one of their Champions League sort of league phase games last season, which the fact that he's got that Champions League experience, some people might just look at the fact that he's played, you know, in Serbia and Switzerland, but, you know, playing eight Champions League phase games is good experience for someone of that age.
It really is, and I think at the same time, I'm sure Red Star won the league as well, so he knows what it takes to win a league. I think they are attributes that you want in players, and especially Rangers fans want when coming to a club the size of Rangers, so he kind of ticks the boxes. But ultimately it'll be decided when you see him take the part. Can he adapt? Can he get the fans behind him? Because there is a pressure at Rangers, and especially this season, because there's been so much change.
Well, let's hear from you, Rangers fans, on that. 01419511025. Celtic fans, what did you make of that friendly win over Cork yesterday? Did anything stand out or anything else on your mind? 01419511025. Let's hear a bit from Serbian football expert Nemanja Janisev, shall we? Because he watched on very closely as Nasir Žiga during his time at Red Star Belgrade, and he gave us a lowdown of what Rangers fans can expect.
So when he came, it was a lot of doubts of what he's capable of. And at the beginning, he didn't show us too much. A new environment, strong rivals in Champions League like Man City, Leipzig, and playing outside of his position, usually as a right back. In mid-season, a club brought a new manager, Vladan Milovic, who trusted him. And I think it's a main point of his improvement. He got faith in himself, got a position back, and built stable partnership with Aleksandar Dragovic. The season after, he became more stable. And of course, Milovic put him in the center back position. Then he really showed us how good he can be in the air, how strong he is, and how he can be good in reading the game. Also, team and coach pushes him to start attacks from the back, to carry the ball. And it was really nice to see. And in his last games before his departure to Wolves, he was our best player by far. So I think that he's a player for top five leagues.
Yeah, Nemanja, they are saying, you know, that he was encouraged at Red Star Belgrade to get on the ball, carry the ball out from the back, play out from the back. That's exactly what Russell Martin will be highlighting.
Yeah, it's exactly the type of profile he will be looking for. You obviously hear the journalists there speaking about his attributes. That's they all tick the boxes. But like I said, ultimately it comes down to how he adapts to Rangers, how he adapts to the new team, his teammates. But that's signs that Rangers fans will be happy about, I think.
01419511025 on the phones. I think we are just lining up Stevie right now, so we'll get to him very shortly. We did mention those other links. I think, actually, let's go to Stevie now. We can't speak to him. Stevie is a Celtic fan in Strathblane. Stevie, what have you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm kind of quietly waiting to see what Celtic are going to do, and obviously it'll be the usual for Peter Lowell. He'll wait till the Coon money's in before he'll then buy somebody. But my main point is across this thing.
Have we still got you, Stevie?
I mean, look how much you've even mentioned, ridiculous and all that it was. I wonder how long it's going to take for the penny to drop with the Rangers fans regarding the fact that the financial situation, that, you know, it's all loan deals, Bosmans they've got, there are not going to be any really big signings.
They have spent some money, Stevie, though. It's not all been loan deals and free agents so far.
Do you believe they've spent $3.5 million for that defender? Really? Seriously?
Well, Emmanuel Fernandez, but certainly Telo Asgard was a £3.5 million signing.
I don't. We've no evidence in that because they're a private company, so they can tell you anything.
It's kind of how all football clubs work in terms of like undisclosed fees, though, isn't it, Scott? And people can choose to believe whatever it is, and Stevie might not believe certain fees or not. But Rangers have signed some players on loan. They have got players on, you know, free transfers, the likes of Lyle Cameron as well. But they also have spent some money so far. So is it just about Rangers exploring different ways, you know, in the market to try and maximise what they can and get the best squad possible going forward?
Yeah, I think obviously with a lot of players leaving in the summer, and obviously the new owners coming in, there's a lot of pressure on to go and spend big money. If you're being realistic, that was never going to happen. They're going to look at players, and they're going to, when they are spending the money, they're going to have to do all the diligence to make sure they're the right ones for their transfer model. They think they can make money back on, so they might think that. Obviously, with the boy from Luton coming in, will they spend another couple of £1 million on players? I'm not so sure whether they do get a money for someone like Iggeman, then maybe you might see that. So you can pick up good players on the loans if you have done your research, which obviously we've had good feedback on the new signing. So it'll be interesting. Rangers aren't going to do what Celtic do at this moment in time. They need to build up to that, and that's what they'll be looking to do over the next two seasons, I think.
So Rangers transfer business doesn't really concern you at all, Stevie? You're just quite happy for them to go about the way they're going about it?
I don't think the team will look that different for the team that had last year. I think you don't think they'll be any superstars. I don't think they'll be the big system, the 20 million stuff and all that the fans were expecting. And on the other hand, they're a wee bit unrealistic and they're asking prices for Bessers and Igamani, and that's why the clubs involved, you know, have walked away. Even Billy Dodds, who worked there, who sees Igamani every day, says that Rangers are being unrealistic. It's very easy to think that they can just copy Celtic and get Matt O'Reilly money and all that. It's no easy. Celtic make it look easy. And I think that the Rangers fans are in for a reality check. That's not to say they won't be successful and win most of their games and blah, 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 but I don't think it's going to be what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, in terms of selling players, there's obviously been the sort of long-running things with Hamza Egerman and Cyril Dessers, but Rangers have every right to sort of put up any price tag they want on their players, and if clubs want to pay it, then they'll pay it. If they don't, sort of any player is just worth what a club is either willing to sell for them or willing to pay for them.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't overvalue a player. I think the problem lies with Rangers is obviously not making any money off your Ryan Kent or Morelos at times where they could have, and I think that's where the Rangers fans looking at say, listen, if we're developing players, we've got to make some money on them. Rangers could overinflate that price, and then the team doesn't come back and looks elsewhere. But that's for the new owners to decide. At the same time, they can't afford to let two go out the building. They don't have replacements. That's the one thing I would say,
Stevie. In terms of Celtic's business, you know, you mentioned you don't think that, you know, any big money will be spent until Nicholas Coon leaves. How confident are you that, you know, the right deals will get done once that Nicholas Coon deal is completed?
Not very. Because Peter Lowell is still in the building and he's more interested in the team sheet and the balance sheet than the team sheet.
Did Celtic not spend a lot of money last summer, Stevie? You look at £11 million for Arne Engels, £9 million for Adam Ida, £6 million for Austin Trust there. Those not quite big fees.
Let me qualify that. Celtic haven't actually spent any money that they didn't already get from transfers that came in. They haven't dumped.
That's the whole point in having a model like that, though. No, would you not rather your club is ran that way?
Well, aye, but you're also sitting with 70 million in the bank and sending a cheque to HMRC when you could have maybe had another player in. I think that they're risk averse. Celtic board is risk averse. My biggest concern is the same as every Celtic fan's concern this summer. Please do not sell Dyson Maeda.
Yeah, how important is... Well, first of all, we'll take Stevie's point in terms of, you know, the money Celtic, you know, we said last summer did spend, you know, big money on players, albeit they did bring in a lot of money for Matt O'Reilly as well. But the model has been working for Celtic, though, hasn't it? In terms of the most seasons, they win most things. So it's not, I mean...
The trading model is as good as anybody in Europe, especially the fact that these guys are playing football in Scotland and Celtic can actually get teams to come in from abroad to pay that amount of money for players playing the Scottish Premiership. That is the facts of the matter. How Celtic run that in terms of bringing players in for low fees and then getting back tenfold is incredible, really. I think at the same time, though, as much as we speak about Celtic spending money, we spent all last season, and all we spoke about was what Celtic actually spent on Adam Eden, that because he wasn't scoring goals 1 week, then he did score goals. All it was spoken about was the transfer fee. So there's got to be a sense of realism about it as well. Celtic as a club, in terms of bringing players in, is as good ran, is as well ran as any club in Europe for me.
Stevie?
Well, Celtic are actually officially the best run club in the UK. That came out a few months ago. Celtic fans' expectations now have moved from domestic dominance to let's see how far we can get in Europe if we can sort of consistently get to the sort of last 16 or last 32 or whatever it is. Obviously got a qualifier to play this year, and Celtic's model has always been to buy a player after we've qualified for the Champions League. So don't expect anything before the playoff.
Well, thank you to Stevie. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Willie is a Rangers fan in Cumnock. Willie, what are you thinking?
Hi, how are you doing? As I was seeing your producer last night, and I've got a lot of respect for Laurie for Dennison. I've listened for a long, long time. And there's the Stevie one there, I know. I don't get it. Why do the Celtic fans want to know why Rangers are spending money or if they can spend money? They spent £11.9 million on a guy that takes the odd penalty and takes the corners. Matt Warburton spent £250,000 on James Tavernier 10 years ago, and he scores the odd penalty and takes the corners. I don't know any Rangers fan anywhere that could care less what Celtic do, what they spend, how they run their club. Why do they care what we do?
I think you
Why
do hear
do
this from
their own club?
From both sides, Scott, that there always will be an element of both supports that are interested in what's happening with their rivals, and they do want to, because a lot of the time they want to just have a dig about things because that's what rivalry is all about. But there will be the other elements like Willie who just aren't interested and don't want to know what's going on. But I suppose that is just rivalry in football, isn't it?
Yeah, especially between Rangers and Celtic as well. Listen, I think football fans are entitled to their opinion whether they support one team or another. And we're in a cauldron where that happens on the daily, even more so on X and all these things on the phone, and we're all part of it. I think from Willie's point of view, he's just looking at his team. He's looking at what type of players are going to bring in, new manager, obviously new owner. So there's a positivity there with a lot of Rangers fans, but Celtic fans obviously doing the old eye over the shoulder, looking at Rangers, seeing what's going to come in, because they're looking to see what's going to be challenging them, if it's going to be challenging them, and that's what football fans do.
Yeah, Stevie wasn't too impressed with the business that Rangers have done so far. Willie, are you the opposite then? Are you quite happy with the deals that have been done?
Well, the Championship is a hard, he'll know. It's a hard Championship to come out of down in England. And Tom Lawrence was a Championship player. Unfortunately, he got a bad injury at the back end of a Ross County game, and then he really struggled after that. Whether it was their medical team that was the problem under Clement or whatever, we'll never know. Because every Rangers player that was injured, every single one of them when they left Ibrox, they've never been injured since, including Ryan Jack, and yet Steve Clarke ran him into the ground playing for Scotland. And the boy could manage. He could manage because he's always had problems, you know, even when he was the captain of Aberdeen. And that didn't help him. He actually had to get an operation. And then if you look at John Souter as well, I mean, he had a bad ACL injury at Dundee United. And though he was played most of the games for Hearts, I never understood why they played them against Livingston in that stupid plastic park, one of the very first games that we played. You know, I mean, we've had umpteen players, including Wycorn, although he scored a penalty at Rugby Park. He got injured doing it at Kilmarnock. And as far as I know, they got a reprieve last year, so they've got to put a grass park this season. I don't know if there's any truth in that, because seemingly Livingston, they're trying to...
Not this season, though, Willie. It's next season is when the grass pitches are coming in from.
No, well, Kilmarnock were supposed to have a grass park last season, and they got a reprieve, so they should have a grass park this season.
They're still going with their artificial surface. I'll tell you what, I didn't expect to be going down the route of Martin Waghorn getting injured on an artificial surface, but one of the points Willie was making was about players coming up from the English Championship, and he was saying that, you know, about Tom Lawrence. We've seen Rangers go down that route before with Tom Lawrence. We've seen it with, you know, Kieran Dowell and Ben Davies, recent examples who haven't cut it at Ibrox and then ended up going down to Birmingham and having loan spells there. It's not a blanket thing that players come up for the English Championship and it's not going to go well for them. What do you think? Do you see any differences between the market and the players that Rangers have been going for in the English lower leagues this season than they have previously, or is it quite hard to tell?
It's very hard to tell at this early stage, I feel. I think the difference here is Russell Martin has a very good knowledge of that league, obviously taking Southampton out of there, so he'll have lots of connections down there, lots of guys he knows who can tell him about players. That's the one thing from the Championship signings I would take from it. He'll have a very good knowledge of the players. I think there has been ones who have come up and done extremely well, especially at Rangers, and there's ones who haven't. And that happens all over football, but Russell Martin's knowledge, you would like to think that he's getting the right guys in.
Well, thank you to Willie, 0141 951 1025. If you've got anything to add to those previous calls, or maybe you want to bring up something new, that is fine as well. But it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Gordon DL got back to losing ways last night, his fifth defeat of the Summer League. You've played two and won two, Scott Allen. So
Gordon DL's lost five.
To be fair, he has played nine times. He's played more than anyone, but that's still five defeats and four wins. But yes, two wins from two for you, Scott Allen. Can you beat Scott Allen at Beat the Pundit? Your chance will be next. Ring 0141 951 1025 now, and you can be playing next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now.
Well, Alan here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We still want to hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, a new signing today, Nasser Jigga, a central defender on loan from Wolves. What do you make of that and some other potential business going on? It looks like JD Gassama is going to be joining from Sheffield Wednesday. What about Josh Windass? Reports from Sheffield saying that he could be a potential option for Rangers. Would you take Josh Windass back after all these years? 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, anything that stood out from last night's friendly win over Cork? I did see a bit of praise for Hayato Inamura, who started at left back. That was after Brendan Rodgers had said he didn't really expect him to be part of first team plans this season, but do you think that could change after last night? Stephen Welsh picking up an injury as well. What about you Partick Thistle fans? I've just seen Tony Watt has signed for you. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 0141 951 1025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And of course, Scott Allen has announced his retirement, so we'll see if it has any effect on his Beat the Pundit. Will you have your feet up now? Is that you? Not competitive enough to challenge and Beat the Pundit, or more? Will you be studying?
Doing my research.
That'll be it. Any questions to Scott Allen as well, you can get them in. 0141 951 1025. Ali is in Paisley. He's going to be playing Beat the Pundit. Ali, have you played before?
I haven't, no. Not looking forward to it.
Do you normally get on alright when you're playing along at home?
When I'm listening to it at work, I'm usually quite good, but you know, it's different pressure in it.
What made you phone in tonight? What made you think tonight was the night?
I've been trying for a few weeks and I listen all the time, and do you know what, I thought, why not give it a bash? And big fan of Scott Allen, so hopefully I can do one over on him.
There we go. Let's see if Ali can beat his hero, Scott Allen. We'll put some Greatest Hits Radio. We'll put some Greatest Hits Radio in the ear of Scott Allen. Ali, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Sorry, mate, there you go.
Let's do it. From which club did Dado Perso join Rangers from?
Monaco.
João Pedro Neves Felipe is better known by what name?
Sao Pedro.
Guess the year Transmit was first held and Lee Griffiths scored against England.
2019.
Which Scotland manager famously played a 4-6-0 formation?
Craig Levein.
True or false, Kirk Broadfoot has played in more European finals than Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
True.
How many Scottish managers have won the Premiership in the last decade?
One.
Okay, we will bring Scott Allen back in. Can you hear us, Scott?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock for Scott. Let's go. From which club did Dado Purcell join Rangers from?
Monaco.
João Pedro Neves Felipe is better known by what name?
João Pedro.
Guess the year Transmit was first held and Lee Griffiths scored against England.
2016.
Which Scotland manager famously played at the 4-6-0 formation?
Craig Levein.
True or false, Kirk Broadfoot played in more European finals than Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
True.
How many Scottish managers have won the Premiership in the last decade?
One.
What vehicle is on Clyde's badge?
What vehicle?
Gonna rush you here.
Boat.
Okay, right. How do you think it went, Ali?
Not too bad. Just hope that's enough.
Right, let's see how you both got on. From which club did Dado Purcell join Rangers? You both said Monaco. You both got it right. One all. João Pedro Neves Felipe is better known by what name? You both made the same mistake here. You both went for João Pedro. You're thinking topical. You're thinking Chelsea at the Club World Cup. Jota.
I know.
Celtic's Jota. Neither of you got it, so it remains one all. Guess the year Transmit was first held and Lee Griffiths scored against England. I always think these ones are quite tough just because it's a lot of information to take in. 2017 was the answer and neither of you got it, so it remains one all. Which Scotland manager famously or infamously played the 4-6-0 formation? Of course that was Craig Levein. You both got it. Two all. True or false, Kirk Broadfoot has played in more European finals than Zlatan Ibrahimovic? The answer is true. Of course he played in the UEFA Cup final in 2008. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, his only chance would have been the Europa League final with Man United in 2017, but he missed it, didn't play in it.
Yeah.
And you both got it right, so three all. How many Scottish managers have won the Scottish Premiership in the last decade? You both went for one.
None.
The answer's zero.
Aye.
So it remains three all, but Scott got one more question in. What vehicle is on Clyde's badge? And it is a boat.
Yes.
Scott Allen nicks it. A 93rd minute winner for Scott Allen. 4-3. He's delighted. But it was a decent effort, Ali. Unlucky.
Appreciate him. Let me on. Sorry.
No worries. Make sure to phone in again and try your
hand. Cheers, Ali.
That's it. You've got the first one out of the way. The first one can sometimes be the toughest, I think. Now he knows how it all works. Yeah. There we go. So a 4-3 win for Scott Allen. We will be back tomorrow night with more Beat the Pundit. Right, let's go straight back to the phones, shall we? William is a Rangers fan in Stevenston. William, what are you thinking tonight?
Well, Andrew and Scott.
Hello.
How you doing, William?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm just laughing at the Calvin Kleiners, the obsessed people who are across the road. I mean, do you know why I talk about the rain team? It's public forum that Rangers have got 20 million to spend. That's out in the public. I mean, we've got money to spend, you know what I mean? And if we sell these two strikers, which looks likely, because they won the play, and usually if you don't play in games, it's usually a sign that you're going to get sold. You don't want to get injured for the team you're going to represent. But the money is there, so let them concentrate on what they're doing. Why do they always own moaning about us, what we're doing? We've got 20 million to spend, that's fact. Can they not get that round their head?
Yeah, that 20 million, I mean, it wasn't all specifically set out to be transfer budget. That was put in by the new board, Andrew Kavanagh, Parag Marathi, and it was said that essentially was a £20 million initial investment that was going to be spent on all areas of the club, and some of that certainly will be for on the pitch investment, but it'll be interesting to see what the portion is, Scott, to see how much is actually spent on players.
Yeah, it will be. I think Rangers, in terms of this summer, it's going to be an interesting one in terms of going from spending a certain amount of money on a specific type of player for a Russell Martin team. That's why they might take a bit longer to get done. I think in terms of Eggman and Dessers going, if you were to sell Rito, you have to have guys coming in and are going to hit the ground running. It's a position of the pitch, it's so important. So for me, I think you have to keep one of them.
Is a lot of that about continuity as well going into the Panathinaikos game? Say, yep, for example, Rangers decide to sell both of them this week. Hamza Igaman goes to Leo, Cyril Dessers goes to AEK Athens, and Rangers decide to bring in someone else. Is that quite a lot of upheaval going into a really important game?
Yeah, it is, because obviously you're coming into your training. Some of these guys might not be back at pre-season yet with their respective clubs, so you don't know what physical shape they're in, never mind your match sharpness. And it's such an important game for Rangers as a club as well. So for me, I think you can afford to sell one of them, but you need to keep one. And for me, it would, at this present time, it would be Dessers I would keep.
If you had to keep one, William, who would it be out of Cyril Dessers and Hamza Igaman?
Well, 100% Dessers. He's a top goal scorer in the country, you know what I mean? Scott's got a bang on there. If you're going to sell one, you've got to sell the boy who's got the most potential for other teams. And he's going to get sold for that 15 million quid. I'm almost certain of it, you know what I mean? They're just playing hardball, Leo, at the moment. They'll just wait in probably the last couple of weeks of the window and the boy will get sold, you know what I mean? But Rangers have made some good signings. Their midfield is definitely stronger. That boy Rothwell, I think it was Bournemouth, right?
Yep, yep.
He must be one of the best midfielders in the Championship, you know what I mean? Because Leeds won the league and he's getting good rave reviews, so that's definitely...
Yeah, by all accounts, he's a really good player. I think he definitely suits into that playing style, looks to go and create, play forward. I think that was, for me, Rangers struggled with a lot in the games where teams set up against them in the low block last year, where they couldn't quite find that little cutting pass or that bit of creativity. So you'd like to think he could add that. But listen, you need these guys match up, because this Panathinaikos game, it's worth a lot to the club, and Rangers want to do well in Europe as well as the fans. So these guys are coming right in and knowing how much pressure and what comes with wearing the Rangers jersey come a match day. So there's a lot of pressure on them and they'll need to get used to it fast.
Well, thank you to William. What about Andy, a Celtic fan in Broxburn? What have you got for us tonight, Andy?
Hi, mate. What I'm kind of thinking is, I was wondering what both of your opinions were, is like, Celtic have signed like a couple of players that, like, they've signed that Negre and then that Inamura, but like Ben Rogers has said himself that he probably needs to go for a loan, he's not like ready kind of thing, and like Rangers have signed all these boys that are like loans or like things for like the English Championship or the Premiership, but I'm wondering how that would equate in your head to like, because it's not always straightforward coming up to England being a good player there, because it's really fast-paced up here. I was just kind of wondering what your opinion on that would be.
Yeah, is it just kind of on a player-by-player basis? Because we've seen players come up from the English lower leagues before, and some of them have done really well, and some of them have struggled, and both at Celtic and Rangers, and just haven't worked their way into the team. So is it just really looking at it as a case-by-case basis? And some of the players may flourish and might be fantastic, and there might be other players who don't fare so well.
Yeah, I genuinely think it's as simple as that. I don't think there's more to it than player for player. Can you handle the pressure? Do you get the opportunity? Is it when you come in the door and you're not waiting, and then there becomes more pressure on you when you do come into the side? So they're the factors that for me can make the difference. I think Rangers, obviously Aribo came up and had a real impact. You look at Celtic over the years, your Patrick Roberts came up, a lovely footballer, and really got the fans off their seat. So there is diamonds in there, but for me it depends on player for player what their mentality is like, and then do they get the opportunity as soon as they come, instead of waiting for a spot in the team, waiting. That can then become difficult for them to find their feet at a new club, especially clubs like Rangers and Celtic, where there's so much pressure on to perform.
Andy was talking about the signings that Celtic have made so far. You know, you look at Benjamin Nygren, not a big fee, but I think a lot of that was to do with circumstance, the fact that he was down to the last 6 months of his contract. Brendan Rodgers has said he's been quite excited by what he's seen. Would you expect there to still be, you know, the big signings, the marquee signings, those still to come for Celtic over the next couple of weeks? Because, of course, their season does start a bit later.
Yeah, I think there probably will be a few more signings, but I think if you're obviously speaking it, you look at the price that Kuhn's now been linked with, and for the fee that Celtic brought him in with, you can't really argue with some of the players that Celtic do bring in. You just need to give them time. You see, we speak about the Japanese players that came in, your Maeda, your Kyogos, they came in, hit the ground running. Kyogo obviously made the club £10 million. So I think it's a different kettle of fish for the Celtic fans, because they've got a system in place where they can trust the sort of signings that the club makes, because year on year they're selling players. and still making they're still making money off players they sold four or five years ago, and that shows you how well the club has run from top to bottom.
What are you expecting Brendan Rodgers to do next in the market, Andy?
I would expect a couple of big signings, to be honest. I would expect a decent centre half and a striker. My head is a winger.
Andy, what does a big signing look like to you?
Personally, mate, I would say Austin Trusty was not someone I even knew of really.
Yeah.
Until last season, Celtic signed for £6 million. I would expect £8-9 million centre half in there, because they spent £9 million on Ademida, and I think they overspent on Ademida personally. Engels, I can see the potential there, so I'll reserve my judgment, if that makes sense.
Yep. Is that where it becomes tough, Scott? Because, you know, Andy's talking about wanting, you know, big signings, but he's then said that, you know, talking about Ademida, and he's had a lot of criticism, and Ademida was a big signing at £9 million, but maybe hasn't made the grade, or certainly there's still question marks over him to some fans. But then Celtic have gone out and spent lower fees on players quite a lot of times, and have gone on to be, you know, Virgil van Dijk didn't cost a lot of money, Matt O'Reilly didn't cost a lot of money.
The club.
Yeah,
like I said, it's an interesting one in terms of how the Celtic fans look at it. For me, looking at it, I think you got to have full trust in the system that they have in place, because as we're speaking about, even going back to van Dijk, there's guys coming in who are, we're on to be one of the best defenders in the world, and time after time they seem to be doing it. So for me, I think you got to take the eyes off the price tag and look at the type of player that you're signing for your club. Can they flourish? Can they do well in Europe? And Celtic have done it time and time again in terms of putting the selling players on for value, and then them players making another jump, another step up, and still getting paid off the back of it. So there should be full trust there in terms of the recruitment team.
Well, thank you to Andy. 01419511025. If you want to add to the discussion while you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. Grade one. Yeah, every week we are giving away life-changing cash on Make Me a Winner, and you can get into the draw now to get a call worth £542,000. To get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or for one entry, you can text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the entries. Online entry, I should say, sorry, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, so just answer the phone if you get the call, and £542,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account as well. So for your chance to win £542,000, text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of debate among Celtic and Rangers fans tonight. Maybe you want to add to that. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And we've got Scott Allen in the studio as well, who has today announced his retirement. You're also going into a coaching role at East Kilbride as well. Looking forward to the future.
Yeah, I really am. I think I think the East Kilbride one for me is probably the closest commute I've had in a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to it. But first and foremost, they've built a really good squad there. Plays a really nice brand of football, which I think will suit me in for where I want to go in my career. I think it's a good starting point.
In terms of the retirement, how tough a decision was that? Was it a tough decision? Did it just feel like the natural time to hang the boots up?
Yeah, I think it was just a natural thing. I think for me, I think since the moment I got diagnosed with the heart condition, I think from there it became a bit of a slog. I obviously wasn't playing at the level that I'd wanted to, and just got a bit frustrated at times. So for me, I've probably not really been enjoying the playing side of it for a while, but just kind of, I think most people tell you to keep going as long as you can, but I think this year, when I had a real think when I was away on holiday, I felt this was the right moment to look to what's next.
In terms of highlights, if someone had to say to you, what are the ones that stick out in your head across your career of your favourite moments?
I would say making my debut for Dundee United. I think first and foremost that was my goal since I signed there when I was 9 years old, was to get into Dundee United's first team. was lucky enough to make my debut in a Europa League qualifying game against Slask, and then made my full debut in the SPFL against Hearts at Tynecastle. So it was a nice way to make my debut. I think probably the highlight moment would be obviously scoring against Hearts in the derby for Hibs was good. Winning the league at Celtic, winning the league at Larne when I went over there a few years ago, met some really good people. So there's been lots of good stuff. It's not been plain sailing by any stretch of the imagination, but that's football at times, and I can look back and be happy with it.
I did say if anyone had any questions for Scott, you can phone in 01419511025. Thomas has phoned in. He's in East Kilbride and he's an East Kilbride fan. Thomas, you're looking forward to Scott being in as a coach?
Yes, very much so, Andrew. First of all, good evening to you both. And yes, I would say when it first got announced on social media today that Scott Allen was going to take on a role as a first team coach, I was delighted to hear that. And firstly, I want to congratulate Scott on a great career and wish him all the best in his retirement overall. And of course, with East Kilbride specifically. The two main questions I wanted to ask of Scott were what it was about East Kilbride specifically and the project that's been built there that he thought was a good fit for him, and what he thinks he could add to it, and also what his expectations are as part of the East Kilbride setup now for next season ahead and so on and so forth, given our recent promotion into the SPFL.
How are you doing, Thomas? Thank you for your words. I think for me, why East Kilbride? First off, they had contacted me to come and speak to them, and when I spoke to them, and I had seen a bit of them last year. I'd been to a few games and seen how they played. The brand of football was something that I could associate myself with. I could see myself enjoying that. I think in terms of a coaching perspective, when you're coaching the style that you think you can make a difference in, I think that definitely helps. I think that's was a real key for me in terms of where the club want to go as a whole. They're looking to progress through the leagues, which is that ambition there gives you something to get to get stuck into. So that was probably the main things for me, Thomas.
I appreciate that, Scott. And like you say, the club for many years now have had this ambition to progress through the leagues, and obviously we just last season obviously got promoted into the SPFL, so hopefully we can go strength to strength, and I'm looking forward to having you as part of the the staff. I must say, it explains I was at the Dunfermline friendly match the other week.
Yes.
And as I was going in, I saw somebody who I thought was yourself just as I was entering, and asked my dad who I was going with, is that Scott Allen? And he was like, yeah, I think so. And we couldn't place two and two together as to, you know, what your involvement would be. So it's great to finally have that question answered. And as I say, looking forward to having you on as part of the staff, and hopefully we can go on from strength to strength together as a club.
No, thank you, Thomas, and I hope we can deliver more success this season. I'm really looking forward to it.
How long has the coaching side of things been in your mind? Is that quite an early thing when you get into football, or was there a specific point you hit that you thought you'd like to do that post-playing career?
That's a good question, Andrew. I think from my own perspective, I think because I've had so many highs and so many lows in football, I think there's a lot of value in giving that back to players. I think with that project at East Kilbride, there's some experience in there, but there's a lot of players who haven't maybe reached the potential that they maybe thought they could have at some point, so hopefully I can add to maybe getting them back up through the leagues. And I think at the same time, alongside that, then I'll probably work in one of the academies somewhere around about the age group between 13 and 16, where I also think you can make a real difference. I think for me, as a coaching point, it gives you an all-rounded view of coaching younger kids and obviously a first team.
So I think there are quite a few, you know, people that retire and they miss that day-to-day, and they want to make sure they've still got that routine and go in at clubs, but sounds like the sort of human aspect is quite big for you, being able to pass on your experiences and do that for younger players.
Yeah, listen, a big thing for me growing up, I think we're in a country where we have a lot of coaches, but not all coaches are delivering the right sort of ethos to young kids and to go and be brave on the ball. It's the players we want to see, players in this country who get you off your seat, who want to go and create, who want to take the ball under pressure, and that's something that I love about football. I think I could there's areas where I can give some real good advice there for some of the younger kids coming through. So as I said, it's part of my development, so I'm sure I'll make some mistakes along the way, but that's all part of the process.
Well, that's all we've got time for tonight, unfortunately, but thank you for getting involved. Thank you to the last caller, Thomas, and for everyone else that phoned in tonight, for getting involved on social media, watching on the live stream as well. Thank you for Scott Allen taking the time on such a busy day to come in and chat to us as well. I'll be back tomorrow night. It will be Gordon DL in the studio, slightly longer since he retired.
Yeah, just a bit. He'll just be hoping to get a win on the Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he can do that or not. But as I say, we'll be back tomorrow night, and it's Amber that is up next taking care of things.